Blog Talk Radio.
Shema.
Brought to you by Beth Shalom Mashiach and sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess, Eliana Bhatia, and I am saying shalom this morning. I'm excited to be here, excited to be teaching you this morning again. We are still in the book of Tehillim. We are actually in Tehillim 21 today, and just want to make out a few apologies for not being on last week. I was out of town, and I was not able to do my broadcast in the morning because I had gone out for a meeting and actually crashed at my sister's place that night before. And she encouraged me. She goes, "Oh, yeah, you could still do your broadcast." But actually, we were up so late talking, catching up, that I wasn't able to get on. And then she has a really small place, so I thought, well, you know, if I start doing my broadcast, it's going to wake her. So I did not do the broadcast. And then on the Wednesday, I actually had to be up in the mountains from me, about an hour away. I needed to be at a home of a couple that I'm working with. I needed to be there at 8 in the morning because they work all night, and they get home at 6, and they said if I came at 8, they would still be awake enough and alert enough to do the paperwork that we needed to accomplish. So as many of you know or don't know, I wear several hats. I'm a real estate agent as well as an insurance agent, as well as being a notary public. I also have a small business, and I am launching ministry in our community. So I'm very, very busy, and I've also been busy at building community here in the Central Valley. So a lot of the times when I'm out actually doing whatever work I'm doing, and my work consists of going into people's homes. All of the services or the licensing that I have, they're all people specific. So I actually get to go into the home, sit down at the table, speak with people, and then, you know, help them in whatever service or whatever capacity. But I never neglect to add the spiritual element. I always, you know, most of the time when I'm in someone's home, whether it's, you know, for whatever business service I do, I end up hearing their heart. I end up talking about the Most High, and I always end up praying with them. So some people call it marketplace ministry. I just call it life because I recognize that the Most High is in every aspect of life, and for some of the reasons why I'm in their home, in my real estate side of my life, I also do a couple of things under the umbrella. Not only am I just an agent to help them buy or sell, I also do what's called home retention, which means if a family is in trouble with their home and they are about to lose it, one of the services that I provide is to try to help them keep that home. But if they cannot keep the home, then I provide a different service. It's called property preservation. After they leave the home, then we go in and preserve it and by, you know, taking care of the grounds and whatever for the bank, and then it gets on the market. I don't always get those homes to list. That's one of the reasons why I did start that, but I don't always get to list those properties. However, I do get to talk with families and help them make that transition and let them know the Most High is with them, but, you know, for whatever reason that they're losing their property. And most of the time I have found that it is because the number one reason that I found for more than anything, the reason why they're losing their home is because of a death in the family, and all the family members had to pull together. And typically when family members are buying their home, and usually these are younger family members or younger couples, I would say, well, not always, but most of the time they're under the age of, say, 40 or 50. And usually what will happen is if they're buying their home and they're both of them are working, the family leans on them, and they feel that they are the best candidates to help. And so they will come out of pocket. They will sacrifice their mortgage payment for 1 month to help the family with funerals. And I've been in homes of people, you know, from every walk of life, and they're paying for funerals from their country, you know, whether it's Switzerland or the Philippines or Jamaica or China. I've had families that I've gone into, and they've had to actually fly back to China because maybe they were the only child. You know, maybe the spouse, the wife or the husband was the only child. And what I'm saying is, long story short, these are real life situations that affect them, and they take from their mortgage and other bills to meet the need of their family, and they get behind in their mortgage, and they end up losing their home. And the number two reason that I've heard for people losing their home is because they are government employees. And during the mortgage crisis, when Governor Schwarzenegger was in office, they put all of the government employees on furlough, which meant they took half of their pay with the promise that the state of California, which where we live, was going to, pay them back. And then so they took that first hit, and many of them were able to kind of struggle along with making the mortgage payment. And then later, there was a second furlough. Furlough. So now those families are losing their homes now because the government cut their pay again. The state has promised to pay them. But, you know, and then the third reason a lot is military. A lot of young people, you know, served in the military under George Bush's fake war, and many of these young people got married, and they were buying their homes, had children on the way, and they're over there fighting in Iraq or Afghanistan or some other place, and when they get back, you know, the United States is very cold-blooded. They pump you up, be all you can be, get in the Army, you know, get in, become a Marine. They pump you up with all this, you know, you're going to be a great person. But as soon as you come back, and another thing they did was they made all these people, reserve. They were not actual full-time military. But while they were fighting, they were active duty. But as soon as they come back, they're reserve. So as soon as they come back and hit the soil, they immediately revert back to civilian status, and the government does not take care of them. So for these reasons, a lot of people are losing their homes. The fourth reason was because job turndown, job loss, maybe in their industry. After September 11th, the first industry to go was the airline because, you know, the planes. So every supporting industry after that began to take a toll and began to hit. It was a domino effect, and dominoes are still falling in the industry. So what happened, you know, these are the reasons why. So whenever I go into a home, I'm very sensitive. I know these are not people that, you know, blew their money on drugs or alcohol or frivolous living. These are hardworking American people who, you know, stood by their country, stood by their family, and now they are in trouble. And the bank, of course, only wants the money and they don't offer much help. So, you know, I'm always, I get letters and cards and people tell me I'm one of the only compassionate HRCs. I'm sure that there are others, but I always go, I mean, people give me gifts. I've been given beautiful crystal. I've been given expensive things that I use for my house, you know, things that I would see out and say, oh, I would love to have that in my home, like cooking, you know, utensils, beautiful cooking utensils. I mean, expensive stuff that, you know, I wouldn't buy it, but I would dream about it or see it, you know, you'd see it in a magazine, a chef's magazine or whatever, or kitchenware. But what I'm saying is people are so grateful. They give me things. They just, I say, well, you know, I could take it off your hands. They just want me to have it because I come in with the listening, first of all, with the heart of compassion, with the ear, you know, hearing what, you know, what's really going on, the deeper cry. And, you know, I know I'm there to do a work for the bank, but I'm also there to do a work for the Most High. And the people are hurting. So I always minister to them, to their need, to their family, to their children. A lot of times spouses are about to break up, and I'm able to go in there and sit with them and say, hey, don't let this situation take the best part of what the two of you have. This can be gotten again. This is material. It can be gotten again. And a lot of times, you know, I'm there doing marriage counseling and, you know, working with children, you know, and comforting children who are looking to be, you know, their parents don't know where they're going to go. And we pray together, and I said, you know, the Most High has a place for you. I comfort those children and let them know, you know, it's not going to be over, you know, just because you're leaving this place. So, you know, that's kind of the work that I do, and I take that as a personal ministry that I offer with my career. And then for some of those bank-assigned homes, I can, if the homeowner's consent, I can list their property. So that's pretty much how it works. So I get a lot of listings that way. Not intentional, but I see the stress on them, and there's no reason for them to stress. Right now, the United States, you know, the housing, what they call it, Affordable Housing Commission is saying that it's better for them to short sell than to foreclose. So I let them know that it's better for their credit later if they want to reestablish themselves. And most of them do, and so they go ahead and we list the property for them so they can move on, transition. And usually they leave much more happy. That pain is gone. They're excited. They're working with me. It's like a burden. And, you know, a lot of times that's what people really need. They need people to listen to them. They need people to hear their heart. You know, they don't need you to really solve their problems sometimes. They just need a listening ear. And we live in a society where it's all about making money, and people are obsolete. Even though people make the money, people are the money givers, but the society we live in is very cold-blooded. It doesn't care about your need. It doesn't care that you have a family emergency or situation. If you can't pay on the due date, you're nothing. But they will harass you for the money, but you are nothing. And so that's the society we live in. It's very cold-blooded. This is the fruit of capitalism. It's the result of serving mammon. And this is what Yahushua in the Brit Hadashah was talking about when he said you can't serve the Most High and mammon. Mammon is cruel. Mammon is self-serving. Mammon will make you work hard. It will make you, it'll break you. It will work you to death. And that's what this society is all about. You know, many people come to the United States. I talk to people from all over the world, and they come to the U.S. because they say it's a land of opportunity. But in order for them to gain the opportunity, in order for them to become successful, they have to actually change their nature. They have to become cold-hearted, ruthless, shrewd, in order to become successful. And that's all it's about in the United States, is success and the you know, materialism, the best house, the best car, and they're pumping this stuff all the time on the television. You're driving this best car. You're living in this house. It's all pumping materialism. And if you want to live that life, you're going to work hard, but it's going to take you from your family. It's going to take you from your children. It's going to take the compassion right out of you. And that's what's happening. You know, people start these companies, and they don't care about the people. But when you, you know, when you go and you sit and listen to someone and they tell you what's been going on and they can cry in your presence and they feel that not only did you hear them, but you understood them. And not only have you understood them, but you can do something about their situation. You know, most of the people I work with, they know they have to leave their homes. But they don't, the bank is being, nobody is saying, I understand. I mean, I give hugs, I get invited to dinner, I get, like I said, I get cards, I get coupons, you know, people give me things, clothes, you know. And I'm appreciative to everything I get, because I'm going to tell you something, when I go out, I only make $50 if I get the paperwork back to the bank. And if I don't get the paperwork back to the bank, I make $20. And my husband says, why do you do this? Why do you drive so far? I mean, I drive almost up to 2 hours to talk to families. And he doesn't understand. It's not about the money. But it's about touching the heart. It's about ministering to the soul of the person. It's about sharing their pain and giving them hope. So when I go out and do it, I'm not doing it for $50, because literally $50 will fill my gas tank and I can drive off of that for 4 days, 3 or 4 days. So I'm not making any money. And on top of it, the bank does not pay until the following month. So I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing it because of the compassion. And I have been doing this for almost 4 years. And I've touched so many homes. So many lives, so many families. People still write me cards and say, you came into my home. And I don't even remember their name. When I look at the card, it says, oh. And then sometimes for a reference, they'll put their address, and then I'll look it up. And I say, I remember them now. But so what I'm saying is that you need to have that compassion. And as Hebrew people, we do. You know, we are supposed to, because we are carrying the glory of the Most High in our life, and we are representatives of His on the earth, and we're supposed to have that compassion. The current administration or the people that are, you know, running the earth right now, you know, they have no compassion. They care less about the heart, the soul, the condition of the average person. They're only after greed. So, good morning. That was my introduction. I haven't been around. I wanted to explain why I've been extremely busy. And when I don't do these broadcasts, you know, I feel like I'm letting the Most High down. And I've made a commitment that I'm going to persevere. Now, with Blog Talk, you're supposed to be able to do these broadcasts anywhere you are. I haven't tried it yet, because I know that when I'm looking at my switchboard, there are buttons that say end episode, or, you know, I know you can also end it by hanging up. So I haven't been bold enough to try to do a blog from, you know, not at home looking at my own specific computer. But I'm going to try it. If I'm out, if I find that I'm out and I'm not going to be able to get back to my comfort zone, I'm going to try to still be faithful and see how it works, you know, to do these broadcasts from anywhere, as they say we can. Okay, well, shalom, shalom, and double shalom to the Most High, double shalom to the family, and to those listening in the chat room. And again, my chat room is not opening up, and if you're going to be listening via archive, shalom, shalom to you as well. What a privilege to be a part of the family of the Most High. What a privilege to know that you are a Hebrew of the seed of Yaakov, and that you are heir to the promises of the Most High Yah according to his devar, his word. What a privilege to understand that and to know it. And I'm very excited today because we're going to be in Tehillim 21. And what I'm going to do real quick while I'm here, I'm just going to try to refresh my entire switchboard. I know I won't go off because I'm on the phone, but I'll try to refresh the entire switchboard so that I can see if the chat room would open, because I'm sure there's someone in the chat room, and I haven't been able to see anybody or talk to anybody since I've been away. Now, you can follow me if you want. I'm on Facebook, Eliana Badia. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, Eliana Badia on Twitter. You can also email me through Blog Talk. You can also email me directly at Beth Shalom, B as in boy, E as in elephant, T as in Tom, H as in house, Shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, J as in jam, and G as in girl, Beth Shalom, J-G, at gmail.com. You can email me there as well. And if you want to find out what's going on, email me. I also have a Skype. You can Skype me, Eliana.Batya. So I know people are, you know, they worry, where's Eliana? You know, where is she at? She's not on. Well, you know, drop me a line, because all of those mediums hit my phone. And you know I'm on Pal Talk, Batya 26. So there are ways, if you want to know what's going on with Eliana, you can definitely connect to me in one of those mediums, and I will get back to you. I definitely will get back to you, let you know what's going on. And that's also an encouragement that pushes me forward every, you know, to continue every week, which is really a tremendous blessing. I'm excited. I'm always excited. So let me just tell you, while my screen is refreshing, and I don't think my chat room is going to come up, I've just refreshed the whole switchboard. Everything is back up, and I don't think the chat's going to come up, which is too bad. That's so, you know, this technology is supposed to be state-of-the-art, and it doesn't work right. That's amazing to me, just amazing, amazing, amazing. Anyway, I'm going to go on. What I have planned is I'm going to say the prayer that I, you know, always say a prayer. And then I'm going to we're going to hear the Tehillim 21 read. Then I'm going to read it again. Because when I play it, of course, they're not going to call the name of the Most High correctly. You know, they're going to do it the Anglicized way and the Greek way, but we're going to do it the Hebrew way. So I'll let it be read, and then I'll read it again, and then we'll go from there. Okay? All right, well, just bear with me while I move around these screens. And let me back it up, and then I'm going to play it again. Now I want to go to Tehillim 21. All right, and I'm playing it from BibleGateway.com, and I'm going to let it play. All right. It's queuing up.
Psalm 21. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days for ever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed for ever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. But the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. thine hand, shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out to those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power.
All right. This, when I was studying this Tehillim a couple weeks ago, I was real excited about some things I heard in this Tehillim and some things that kind of jumped out at me. I'm going to go ahead and read it in the, you know, the Hebrew way, and that way we'll have a better understanding of what we're talking about here. But you know what I forgot? I forgot to pray. Let me say my prayer. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to pray. I mean, I always want to start with prayer because the Most High is so good to us. Most High, I want to give you praise this morning, and thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the air today. Thank you for the wonderful way that your Ruach works with us and how you always are with us, present with us every time, everywhere we are and wherever we go. Whatever we are going to encounter, you've already set the stage for your people. I want to thank you this morning that you are continuing to guide our footsteps and lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, for your holy name's sake. I thank you so much, Most High. I thank you that you have given insight to your people and you are opening the eyes of your people here in the United States of America and also in every country where we have been scattered. And you are bringing us to an understanding collectively. You are refining us. You are renewing us. You are retooling us and rekindling us as a people. And I thank you that you will bring us out. You will bring us out as your word declares. You will bring us out. You'll gather us and you'll bring us out of here. And I thank you very, very much for that. I thank you that this is the set time. The set time has come that the Most High Yah is dealing with his people. And this is such a wonderful, wonderful, incredible, incredible time to be alive, even though we are still hearing about the atrocities that are taking place amongst our community, with our youth being murdered continually, even up to this day. But you are still faithful to your people collectively overall, and everyone who dies in righteousness, you have promised to restore and to renew. And that is what I'm thankful for. I am most excited about that. And I just ask that you would give us comfort. Comfort the hearts of the grieving this morning. Comfort the hearts of the mothers and fathers, the sisters and brothers, uncles and aunts that have lost loved ones to violence, unnecessary police brutality, lies, government schemes, destruction, deception, deceit, tricks against the people. I just thank you that you would move by your Ruach upon our community. Strengthen us, Father. Strengthen us. We are a people waiting upon you. We are a people waiting for your return. And for all these things, we will rejoice. We will be glad. We will be excited about what you're going to do and what you already are doing for us. In Yahushua's name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, now I'm going to continue. I'm going to read the Tehillim in, I'd like to say Hebrew style, the way it should be read, the way it should have been written. Okay, let me go ahead. Ah, wait a minute. I called for one and it didn't give it to me. Let's go on. That's amazing. Okay, well, let's go here. Interesting. I was in another spot and queued up for to heal him 21 and it didn't give it to me. All right. Well, I've got it right here. And I also have it in my open scripture, but I'm going to read it from the King James Version. I have another version that I like to read, but I'm going to read it from the King James. All right, it says, the King shall joy in thy strength, O Most High, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Selah. Selah is a pause. It's also a musical note there. For thou preventedst him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him. Even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great with thy salvation. Honor and majesty hath thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusted in the Most High, Yah, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. For thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Most High shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, O Most High, in thine own strength, so we will sing and praise thy power. You know, the Most High is very, 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 very good. He's very awesome. He's very strong. The Most High is not nervous, nor is he afraid, nor is he somewhere in the heavens shaking his boots because the wicked are planning evil devices against his holy ones, against his hidden ones and his chosen ones. The Most High is not upset in the sense of despair because he sees his holy ones being destroyed, because he has a set time. He has a purpose. He has a time that he's going to deal with all of the affairs that we can imagine that have been going on to us historically, collectively, and individually. You know, as a Hebrew people, don't think that just because, you know, we have a collective history and a collective blessing to come and a collective restoration to come, that the Most High is not concerned about you individually, because he is. He's concerned about you individually. What you shall eat, what you shall drink today, how you feel physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, psychologically. The Most High is concerned about you as an individual unit of the Hebrew community. He's concerned about your household. He's concerned about your individual financial state of affairs. He's concerned about the letters, the threats, the lies that have been heaped up against you, and the accusations and charges that are coming at you demanding payment of things untrue. The Most High is concerned about that. He's concerned about your children not understanding who they are and being very angry in this world. He's concerned about that. He's concerned about your spouse or your significant other who can't quite grasp what you're trying to tell them. He's concerned about your family members who have not had the light turned on in their understanding collectively to know that they are Hebrew people and that all of these things that have happened because of our rebelliousness, our forefathers' sin. So the Most High is concerned about these little things. He's concerned about your, you know, your little five-year-old, your two-year-old, the thoughts that are in their mind, and your teenagers and your young adults. He's concerned about your elderly, our elderly and our community. He's concerned. You know, I had a beautiful privilege to meet a couple. They were, this is their age, 94 and 92. They had been married 74 years, a Hebrew couple, a beautiful couple. Still in with their right mind, their wits about them. The husband of 94 years old, he was still driving a city bus. I had the privilege, I was doing some prospecting and work in Los Banos last week, and I was able to meet with this couple, sit in their home, and listen to their stories. And I'm talking about clarity of mind. I was so impressed, and I was so blessed to be in their presence because, you know, the scripture says that we, the righteous, shall be like the cedars of Lebanon. You know, we grow up, we're going to be strong. And when I saw this couple, I saw that in them, that the Most High has definitely been over their life, definitely been protecting them. Now, they don't know that they're Hebrews. They don't know. But they have a sweetness. They have a countenance so sweet. They do know the Most High, Yah. Now, they don't call him Yahuwah either because they don't know. You know, 94, this knowledge is breaking forth like the waves crashing upon the seashore. In our time right now, in our generation, this is the time. But they are an old, they're from a different generation, from another time. But they do know the reality and the sweetness and the anointing of the Most High. And that was so evident being in their home. And I said, you know, would to the Most High, Yah, that I would be like them at that age if it is the Most High's will that I should continue on the earth for 90 years, or, you know, would to the Most High, Yah, that I would also be as they are, very humble, very sweet, very solid, a full mind, a full understanding at that great age. And I was very impressed. And then I've met people who are over 100 years old, Hebrew people, able to communicate with you, laughing as if they are teenagers. You know, the Most High is very good to his people, even in spite of our captivity and where we are. So Tehillim 21 is talking about such goodness of the Most High. I love the first part of it because it says, the king shall joy in thy strength. And this is telling the Most High, the king, the ruler, the person in leadership, you know, the head of the house, the mother, if she is the head of the house, the father and mother, if the two of them are together, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Most High, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. You know, we don't have our leaders set up the way they should be right now, but there is leadership among us. You know, we don't have one national leader, but we do have leaders among us. And the king should rejoice to the Most High, Yah. And in the salvation, he will greatly rejoice. It says, thou hast given him his heart's desire. You know, the scripture says that if we delight ourselves in the Most High, he will give us, in the Most High, he will give us the desires of our heart. So the Most High desires that for us. He desires that for us. If we rejoice in him, if we put our trust in him and our faith, our confidence in him, he is going to give us our heart's desire. And it's not going to be the desire, you know, our heart's desire might, right now might be to be on par with Edom, But that may not be what the Most High really purposes for us. He will give us his desires and put those desires in our hearts, and then he will fulfill that desire inside of us. A lot of what we desire today really comes from what we've seen. It comes from the people that we're around and the people that exalt themselves over us. But the scripture tells us to hate not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. His ways are vain, they're vanity, they're going to fail. And the Most High doesn't want us to be disappointed, because they will be disappointed. You know, there's countless scripture that talks about the wicked and what their end shall be. And we are not of that seed. We are not of that seed that we should perish like they will perish. Right now they are on top, but that's only for a season. And actually, their season is over. We're looking at the dregs. We're looking at the last remnant of their season. They're out of here. You know, they are really out of here, but they don't know it. And they do, and they're fighting. That's what all this upsetment is about, and what they're trying to do with the currency. Because here in Tehillim, we can go right down to, what is it? Here it is. It says, we just read it, and I just want to go right there. Okay, right here. In Tehillim 21 and 11, it says, for they intended evil against thee. See, the wicked, when they hurt us, they're actually doing it to hurt the Most High God. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. I was watching watching a little piece of Beyond Borders with my husband last night, and it made me think about this Tehillim. There was a scene where they were in, I believe, in Cambodia, and the Khmer Rouge came up and against the doctor, but the doctor had been, you know, had started transporting guns, because that was the only way they could actually be allowed to get in to that area of Cambodia to treat the children. And the Khmer Rouge, they somehow got hooked up with the Khmer Rouge, and they were expecting their guns and all of these military, papers, because they want to subvert the government. They wanted to do that, I believe, in the 80s or whatever, when the Khmer Rouge was pretty big over in that area. And before they could get there, they were stopped by a general, and he was tipped off and knew that this was going to happen and confiscated the guns and the map. And so one of these little Khmer Rouge militants came up into the hospital, the little, you know, makeshift clinic in the jungle, and was angry and was demanding, you know, a lot, that, you know, he was going to kill one of them for being a spy. Well, what I'm going back to, I just said, when the wicked hurt us as Hebrew people, they're doing it to hurt the Most High. Well, this one scene really brought that back to me very strongly. The young Cambodian general said to the doctor, you say you are here to treat my people. So what did he do? They went out and they got an infant, and they put a grenade in the infant's hand. They knew that the infant, you know, would play with it and pull the pin and blow himself up. And, when they saw that, they did that for effect, because they were telling the doctor, you say you love my people, but I'm going to show you we don't care about the people. And he chooses an infant. The mother comes running forth. They kill the mother. And so there's this moment of intenseness. And what I thought about, how the wicked are trying to do this very thing to the Most High, and they do it. They kill the people. They kill our innocent young people. They abort our babies. They kill our young men before they can become a man. They torment us. They try to sterilize the women. And they're doing this against the Most High Yah. Even though our community is being deeply affected and we are suffering, all of this is against the Most High. Because we are the chosen of the Most High Yah. We are the chosen people of the Most High Yah. It is evident. It is all through Scripture, and it is through history. We are his chosen people. Those of us who are of the seed of Yaakov, truly. Now, going back, the Most High said he would make of Avram a great nation, and that Avram would be the father of many nations. There are many people groups that come out of Avram. Many people groups that come out of Avram. But all of them do not have the blessing of the Most High Yah upon them. As a matter of fact, because Avram was so blessed, all of his descendants are numerous to a degree. And the ones that were not given the blessing have a decree of violence and destruction upon their head. So although Avram was the father of many nations, only one of them, one nation, carried the blessing of the Most High Yah and the blessing of peace and the blessing of prosperity and the blessing of fortune and future. So that is the children of Yitzhak, Yaakov, and that becomes the Hebrew people, those of us who were scattered, taken through the transatlantic slave trade. We are that people. We are those people. And the Most High is concerned. So all this time, the nations have been trying to hurt the Most High Yah, stop his plan by hurting us. Now, we played into it. We played into it. We dealt ourselves a dirty hand. We got into the game and dealt ourselves a dirty hand by being disobedient, rebellious, looking to these nations, because our vision is not deep enough to understand the full wickedness of the kingdom of the serpent. Our vision is not deep enough to understand how very deep and wide and great that wickedness is. And we saw was the trappings, the beauty, the gold, the supposed lifestyle that we thought was attractive. That's what we went after. And some of us got deep into it, like we are today. Some of us are deep into this system. But that's not what the Most High had for us collectively. So here, he still has a plan for us, even though we have fallen off. But he's going to bring us to our expected end, those of us who are faithful. Unfortunately, the entire Hebrew community in the diaspora will not make it into this place, because some of us have pierced ourselves through with many sorrows. We have gotten so deep in the world of Edom and in the world of sin and away from the Most High Yah, just as we did in ancient times, that we are not recyclable. Let's just put it that way. Some of us have gotten ourselves into so much garbage that we are not recyclable to the Most High. Our heart is completely turned over. And although the Most High desires for us to return, some of us will not. Unfortunately, that's unfortunate. It's really a very great tragedy in Israel, but it's the truth and it's the way things are. But for those of us who will hearken, who will listen, who will learn, and no one of us as teachers have the total answer, because we're all learning. So the Most High might have you bouncing from camp to camp in your quest for knowledge and in your refinement. So you might start with those street preachers that are out there, talking. That might have been the only way that the Most High could have gotten your attention. And you may be so sold, and if you are there, stay where you are, because as you learn, the Most High Yah will take you up and take you up by degrees. He'll help you make your aliyah, but sometimes we have to be cleansed. There's a cleansing process. And remember the story of Nahum. He had to go, I believe it's in the Book of Kings, Nahum had to dip in the waters of Jordan 7 times before his leprosy would be cleansed. And sometimes that happens to us as we're coming on this journey. Most all of us came out of Christianity. From Christianity, we went into Buddhism, some of us. From Buddhism, we went into Islam. For some of us, we went into many different religions right here in our captivity. But we know that all of us came through Christianity because that's the first thing they taught the slaves. That's the first thing. So all of us have that root that we came through that door. There's not one Hebrew person that can say that somewhere back in the day, either a grandparent, parent, somebody was in the church, in the Christian church, and got that doctrine. You can't say you didn't. You know you did. You know your history because that was what we were given. That was the only religion we were given. And then after that, I believe someone introduced Islam, someone introduced other things. Later, you know, we got into the Eastern religions up until today. But the Most High is still drawing us out. He's still refining us. And again, it goes back to those levels of being cleansed, you know. So even with the Hebrew teachers today, some, you know, nobody has the total truth. We're all still learning. The Most High is still giving us revelation. None of us all have the total truth. We're all endeavoring. Some of us think that, you know, we have it, and maybe the Most High has to refine and tweak, and he will. I've seen it. I've listened, actually, in the last year and a half, and I've actually heard changes. I've actually heard some subtle changes more towards Torah teaching amongst the Hebrews. But before, a year and a half ago, I heard a lot of militant teaching. And now, some, I'm hearing a lot more Torah-based, where we should be. So that means that's the Most High. That's the work of the Ruach among his people. Because, remember, the Most High is not nervous. He's not nervous. He's not freaking out. Oh, my God. Oh, no. They're listening to that street preacher. No, he's not tripping like that. Most High does not trip like that. Because everything that he's allowing right now is going to work together for our good collectively as a Hebrew people. For those of us who are sincere and for those of us who are really seeking, he will lead us into all truth. That is what Yahushua said to his Talmudim. He said, when you get the Ruach will lead you into all truth. So the Ruach is what changes us. As we study, as we dig deep, as we meditate on Torah, as we read Tanakh and understand it and search it out, the Ruach of the Most High Yah will lead us into all truth. He will start to guide us into the way of truth. Now, he has left some integrity, even though they've tampered with the Torah and Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Most High Yah has left a measure of integrity in his Devar for us. As we study the Devar and read it and meditate on it, there is a grain that is, you can't deny that the signature of the Most High is not upon the book. But we have to go further than that. We also have to read the books that they took out. And we have to study there. We have to know what the Most High's purpose is for us. And we have to take hold and fully grasp it. And once we read one thing, you know, there were 300 other books. I mean, I'm sure we haven't read all the books. So we might come across one book and feel like, wow, you know, I have all the sum total knowledge of what the Most High intended, and that's just one book. So we have to be open, broad-based. We have to know that the Most High is with us. We can't be afraid. We can't you know, be shaken in our boots. The Most High is not nervous, and we ourselves cannot be nervous because we haven't even seen the breaking forth of the Hebrew people yet coming up out of this diaspora. We're only touching it, just a small fraction, but they're going to start busting out on the right and the left, and it's going to take a multitude of teachers to bring them along the way so that they get the understanding and they can become we can do what the Most High has called us to do. So what am I saying? I'm going back to Tehillim 21, and it says, you know, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. I'm on verse 3 of Tehillim 21. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. And the Most High is saying how he's going to crown his people with knowledge, with understanding, with strength, with goodness, with wisdom. You know, he's going to do this because he desires for a righteous people to be upon the earth. Or he desires for a righteous people to be on Eretz. The new word, Hebrew word today is Eretz, which means the earth, Eretz. He desires for a righteous people or a people of Zedekah, which is another new Hebrew word. Zedekah is righteousness. He desires for a people of Zedekah to be upon Eretz, upon the earth. So he is doing that, and that people he has already chosen to be the sons and daughters of Yaakov that have come through the transatlantic slave trade. He has already chosen our numbers and all those who left Babylon after the captivity, that did not return into Jerusalem, those that were the lost sheep of the house of Israel, or I'll give you another new word, of the Beit of Israel, the lost sheep of the Beit. Beit means house in Israel. I'm sorry, in Hebrew. So those that are of the lost sheep of the Beit of Israel, of the house of Israel. So the Most High is concerned about his people. The Most High is concerned about his people. He loves his people, and he's concerned about us. All right, so we're going to go on, and it says his glory, I'm sorry, in verse 4, he asked life of thee, and thou gave it to him, even length of days forever and ever. So as a people, can we ask the Most High Yah for life? Yes. Can we ask the Most High Yah for the life of our children and our children's children? Yes. We can ask for their life, but they have to ask for their life as well because their actions, we can ask for their life, but their actions can bring death. They have to want life as well. But we can certainly ask him for it. Can we ask the Most High for our life? And the answer is yes, absolutely, most definitely. We can because he's concerned about us. He's rooting for us. He will give it to us. Even length of days, we can ask him to prolong our life, and he'll do it. He did it for Hezekiah or Hizkiyahu. He did it for him because he asked him for it. We can ask him, and he'll do it. His glory is great in thy salvation. When we are walking with the Most High, that's where we have our glory. When you are standing before a judge or if you're standing before people speaking, what makes you a great speaker or orator at that moment? What makes people stand up and acknowledge and take notice of you is the salvation of the Most High Yah upon your life. It's not so much the individual person of the flesh, but it's the person whose life is hidden in the Most High Yah. That's hidden in Yahushua's teaching and way that he has come to fulfill what was spoken of him by the prophets. So when you are hidden in the Most High Yah, he will cause you to shine because you're just a vessel. You're just a reflection of what he's trying to do, and he shines through you so that people take notice of the words that you speak for their good, for their life, for their salvation, for their deliverance. Okay? And through the mercy of the Most High shall not be moved. So even though things come against you, you won't be moved because the Most High will not allow it. He will prevent the enemy from moving you if you're standing in righteousness, if you're doing what the Most High Yah has predestined you to do and called you to do. You will stand because you are reaching many. He's not going to allow you to be moved because the Most High Yah, remember, is not fickle. He's not nervous. He's not upset about events that go on in our natural human world. He's not. He already knows the end from the beginning. He's just like watching a movie. You watch a movie, you cannot advance the movie. You can't do anything to change the outcome of that movie because you're watching something that's already pre-recorded and pre-planned. Now, the Most High can intervene. Unlike us watching a movie, the Most High, yes, he can intervene. He can also change the destiny. I know there's some movies where they ask you to choose the ending. They have created, you know, several endings, and then you choose the ending that you want to see. And I think they have it where you can play it with the ending you chose. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Most High Yah does not, time does not constrict him. He can step backwards, forwards, sideways, up and down in time, and he can work on and tweak any part of time that he wants. Any event, he can tweak it. He can do whatever he wants. But he's looking for us to do what's right. If we are doing what's right and we request it, he'll do it. You know, he'll change the outcome. Because he can do that. There's nothing preventing him from doing it. So he said, we will not be removed, or the king shall not be moved. And we, being his representatives of the kingdom, we won't be moved. He says, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Now, this is the part I really like. I like this from verse 8 to 11. Actually, yeah, to 12, 8 to 12. I like these five verses here because this gives me hope. Let me tell you why. Let me read it again, and then I'll tell you why I have so much hope and I'm so excited. Okay, starting in verse 8, Tehillim 21, if you're just coming in, we're on Tehillim 21, Psalms 21, verse 8. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Most High shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee, they imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore thou shalt make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. And the reason why I'm excited about these five verses here in this Tehillim, because it talks about the end. It talks about what the Most High is going to do, and it also talks about the time to come. Okay, the Most High is saying this, or the psalmist here is recounting to the Most High something real important. He says, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. The Most High already knows who his enemies are. The Most High already knows who hates him. But when we say thine hand, it's talking about the strength. The strength of the Most High will reveal or expose all of his enemies, not just the few that we think. Okay, here's the deal. We understand we've been learning as Hebrews about what happened to us and the nations that were the perpetrators. Those nations come out of one man historically called Edom. And Edom is Esau. Esau, the brother of Yaakov. Okay. Esau made some declarations about his brother Yaakov. He said he supplanted me twice. We understand through our teachers that supplanting occurred during the time of him losing his birthright and also losing the blessing. But it also pertains to the fact that he did not get the blessing. Now, who are we talking about now? He did not get the blessing at the first offering made by Cain and Abel, or Hubble. So Cain was of the same seed line as Esau. And he says he's very angry with his brother because he does not get the blessing when they offer up an offering to the Most High Yah. So what does he do? He kills his brother. Okay? He kills his brother. Same seed line of the line of the serpent. Later we also have, you know, the situation where Esau, who becomes Edom, who becomes all these nations that we are dealing with right now, is angry and wants to kill, you know, his brother, which is Yaakov, which is our ancestral father. So that means his seed wants to kill our seed. And that goes back to Genesis when the woman and the serpent were being chastised by the Most High for their deed and for the offspring that was to come forth. Now, we're dealing with that. So these are enemies of the Most High Yah. Okay, that's one line of enemies. Now, we also have the watchers who came to the earth and took women, and they had wives, and they had children on the earth. They produced the seed line as well. And their seed line actually produced a multifaceted hybrid seed line of both humanoid and animal seed on the earth. These are also enemies because in the book of Enoch, it talks about these. This is totally different from the seed of the serpent now. This is a totally different line from the seed of the serpent. So the Most High told Enoch that their spirits are ungodly, unholy, evil spirits. So the ruach inside of them is evil. It's an evil ruach. It's an evil spirit. It's not a holy spirit because you had a celestial being and a terrestrial being come together, and they were not to procreate. Now, what happened between Hava and the serpent? The serpent was a beast of the field. It was a terrestrial being already. And even though it was the Most High had to put the enmity between the two of them, it was totally different from what happened with the watchers taking wives and having a completely celestial being mate with a terrestrial female and producing an offspring that looked humanoid but with an evil spirit, with a corrupted, confused spirit, because you have two different. You have one that was condemned to die, the terrestrial being of the female, because of the fall, and then you had the other one that was to live forever. So now you've got a perversion there. So that's another thing that's on the earth that is enemies of the Most High Yah, because they cannot turn. They cannot be redeemed. There is no salvation for that being, and they walk amongst us as men. Okay? So when the Most High Yah is talking about enemies, he's not just talking about the enemies of Israel, the ones that, you know, responsible for our captivity and our diaspora. The Most High Yah is talking about all his enemies in the universe, all of his enemies that have come to this earth and that are wreaking havoc and are walking amongst us as wolves in sheep's clothing. See, the Most High Yah sees the bigger picture. We see the small picture as it pertains to ourselves, but the Most High Yah sees the bigger picture as it pertains to creation and the universe and Eretz and the Eretz. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about something much greater than our pain here now as, you know, returning Hebrews from a rebellious parentage and a rebellious forefather lineage. That's not what the Most High is concerned about us, and that's why he makes such great provisions for his Hebrew people, because he already understands we're in this thing way over our head, way over our head. There's so much going on right now on the earth that it's over our head, it's over our ability really to comprehend it and to understand the depths of wickedness that have come on the Eretz and that are the enemies of the Most High Yah. And they're perpetrators, and they're in government, and they're in leadership, and some of them are not even human beings. Now, yesterday I was in my Hebrew class, my biblical Hebrew, and we came on the word Adam, and we were talking about the word Adam. And we were talking about we're in the part of learning Hebrew where we're doing the masculine and feminine and the singular and the plural. And so we found out something that, like, for example, the word, we always read in Bereshit, which is Genesis, about the Elohim created, you know, the male and the female, the Adam and the Adama. Well, you know, everyone says, you know, Adam was the first created of the Most High. But actually, we just found out in the Hebrew class that the word Adam can pertain to any man or any human-like creature on the earth. In Genesis 2, when the Most High created that man and woman, or that man, and then took the woman out of his rib, what he created was an ish, which means man, and an isha, his wife. This is very different from Adam and Adama. Very different. But unless you understood the Hebrew, you know, we have one of our sisters, Sister Georgia, has really been teaching this. But in the Hebrew, when you understand the difference between the Adam and Ish and Adama and Isha, you understand there's a difference, because any humanoid, any human-like male and female can be Adam and Adama. So we can have beings that are from another realm enter into the earth system and be an Adam. We can have people, you know, these people procreate with animals and produce an Adam. But the Most High Yah created an Ish and an Isha and put them in the garden. Very different. Very, very, very different. And I found that to be completely interesting, because we had been talking. So when we went into the plural, we found out the word, we always hear the word Elohim. And Elohim, of course, is the gods or the angelic beings. And that is a plural word. But the Most High Yah is an Elohai. He is one. He's an Elohai, not an Elohim. So here we see there's a big, big difference. And understanding the Hebrew had me really see this very, very clearly, a very clear distinction that the Elohai, the Most High Yah, created an Ish. And out of that Ish, he created an Isha. The Elohim created Adam and Adama, male and female, humankind. Any humanoid can be. It can stand for man. It can stand for any other male or human-like creature. So that is what an Adam is. And they have deceived the whole world to say Adam, as if Adam is the actual being that the Most High Yah created when he created Ish. And he, out of him, created the Isha, his wife. So understanding is so important, and getting the right information is very important. And I thought that was interesting. And even our Hebrew teacher, she said, "Oh, I don't understand why," you know, she's from Israel, "and well, I don't understand why it's the Elohim, why it's in the plural." But when I understood it, because I've been listening carefully to my teachers, and I realized, aha, this is what my teachers have been saying, and this is what she is explaining when she talks about the two creations. Because it is very clear that something went on, and the Most High Yah wasn't upset about it. You know, he wasn't nervous at that point. He said it was good. It was cool. But then you have not only the beast, which was an Adam, coming into Isha, And it was not Ish, it wasn't her Ish, but it was the beast, the serpent, which was an Adam. He was a humanoid, human-like being. And that's why the Most High said to her, to the Isha, what have you done? This is not who you are supposed to be mating with. You have Ish. And this is who, Ish is who you're supposed to be with, not Adam. Okay? Because the serpent was an Adam. He was a human-like being. He walked upright, he talked, but he wasn't the Ish. He did not have the Ruach. The Most High put in the Ish and the Isha, the Ruach. And that was the difference. And so he put enmity there. And that's the enmity that we today are still dealing with as the Hebrew people. That's what we're dealing with. But when, you know, and here's another thing. When you hear the nations, the Edomite nations talk about Adam, they say Adam means red, it means blood in the face, okay? And what they're talking about, if you go back to the book of, I believe, Jubilees, they talk about the children of the angelics being, these are the ones that were the watchers that came to the earth and took wives. And remember, they said in the book of, I believe it's in the book of Jubilees, and when, I believe it's Jared, he's talking to Methuselah, his father, he says, my wife, he had taken a trip, and he came back, and he says, his wife was pregnant, but she gave birth, and when he comes in, he sees this child, which is Noah, and he says, he was afraid, because he said, the child is as white as the snow and red as a rose, meaning the blood is coming through the skin. He said, and he looks like one of the children of the angels. So when the nations are so proud to stand and say Adam means red and has blood in the face, they're talking about one of the children that the Elohim created. They're talking about Adam. But when we talk about Ish and Isha, we're talking about what Elohai, the Most High Yah, created in the and put in the garden was not the same as what the Elohim created outside the garden. Totally different. Totally different. Totally different. Totally different. And I encourage anybody to take the Hebrew class. It's a wonderful biblical Hebrew class. They take you from beginning to end, you know, just like you're a child, an infant, you know, learning for language for the first time. It's a powerful class. If you want to get the validity of what I'm saying about that, take this course. It's awesome. It's a little expensive. I think it's almost $1,000, but you can break it up in payments. But take the course. It's awesome because the Hebrew language is so powerful. And once we learn it, and as Hebrew people, I encourage us to learn it. I encourage us to learn it. I encourage us to learn it. Actually, when I get it really well, I might even just start offering it, you know, without all that cost because we need to know what the real manuscripts say. We need to understand it from our language because there's things they're not telling us, and it's been mistranslated for us, for our understanding and for our hearing. And if we understand the root language, the real language, we will understand what the Most High Yah is conveying to us. And just like Enoch said to his children, if you read all these 365 books, you will not turn away from the Most High Yah. If you're careful, if you read them carefully, if you hold on to the knowledge of these books, you will not sin against the Most High Yah. That's what Enoch taught. That's what he taught before the flood. If you hold on to the teaching, you won't sin against the Most High Yah. This is what they've hidden from us and taken as we've been asleep through our captivity. Now that we're returning, we must get back to the real information that we need to know so we do not sin against the Most High Yah. That's why Melech David said, "Thy devar have I hidden in my lev." My heart, that I might not sin against thee. Melech Dawid said that to the Most High, thy devar have I hidden in my lev, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy devar have I hidden in my lev, that I might not sin against thee. We have to hide the devar of the Most High in our own lev, our own heart, that we, as his children, will not sin against him. And then here, the beautiful thing, because there are enemies of the Most High on the Eretz right now, many different forms of enemies coming from different regions of the universe are here on the Eretz right now. The Most High says in verse 9, thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Most High shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. See, that's why Yahushua came, to bring us salvation. Salvation from what? Not just from your own personal sins and misgivings and misdeeds, but there's a salvation of this destruction is imminent, and it's due to come upon the earth, and it will come. So when we are walking with Yahushua, when we are walking in the knowledge of who we are as a Hebrew people, and we're endeavoring to do what is right, Zedekah, righteousness before the Most High, when we're doing teshuva, turning from our sins, and doing teshuva, which means to turn away, as the Most High said, turn away from that, you know, turn away from your sins. As we're doing teshuva before the Most High, we are being kept from the destruction to come. That was the reason why Yahushua came, to help us to understand the salvation is more than I stole a cookie, God forgive me. That's not what he's about. You know, stop stealing the cookie. Do that on your own. Do righteousness, because there's a bigger salvation that he's talking about here. He says, it's going to burn like an oven. He says, the Most High shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. He's talking about a serious meltdown. He's talking about a meltdown. He also says that. He says that, you know, this last destruction is going to go out in flames. So we're talking about salvation in that way, where the Most High is going to shield and protect his people. And he says, their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. That means the Most High is going to completely deal with his enemies. They're here. See, their fruit shall he destroy from Eretz. They have works here. They have government here. They have monetary strongholds here. He says their fruit shall he destroy from Eretz. And their seed, their children, their descendants, all of their descendants, he's going to destroy from among the children of Ish and Adam. Because remember, Adam was here too. And it was okay. The Elohim made Adam, and the Most High said it was good. So Adam and Adama are here as well as the Ish and the Isha. The descendants of the Ish and the Isha are also here. Now, these two, it was okay. The Most High Yah, as long as we stay in our place. Remember, we talked about this before. That's what he said to Cain. If you do well, he was an Adam. If you do well, you will be accepted. But if you don't, evil is at your door and it desires to have you. You must master it. So the Adam can dwell among the Ish and the Isha, as long as they do well. And the Ish and the Isha can continue in the presence of the Most High Yah, as long as we do righteousness. As long as we do righteousness, we can stay and dwell among the Most High Yah and be part of his kingdom. And Adam and the Adama can also dwell among us, as long as they do well and keep the commandments and do what we're also required to do. That's really the crux of the story. Now, amongst those of us who were destined for the Eretz, came the other beings who were not. And they have created the wickedness upon this Eretz. And so the Most High is going to deal with that. All of us who have gotten caught up and intertangled and intertwined with that wicked seed, we're also going to be destroyed if we do not repent. That's why we can repent, but they cannot. The wicked seed cannot repent. There is no redemption for them. There is no redemption for them. And the Adam and the Adama can be accepted because the Most High says he would make a light to the Gentiles, that Yahushua would be a light to the Gentiles, to the Adam and the Adama. He would present a light to them, a way, show them a way. What happens in the darkness when you're groping in the darkness? You can't see until someone shines a light. And that's what Yahushua was to the nations, to the Gentile nations, who are the Adam and the Adama. They can see the way to the Most High Yah, to the house of the Most High Yah, where they can be accepted if they see the light. Okay. So the Most High Yah will give them that if they do well, and he will also give it to his chosen people if we also do well and do righteousness. So that's what excites me about this, because I know there's hope, because the Most High Yah is not going to allow the earth to continue in its present state of decay and corruption. Actually, this earth will be destroyed by that fire that he's talking about, but there's going to become a purification, and there's a renewed earth. There's also a renewal for our bodies, and we're going to experience that if we continue to do right in the name of the Most High Yah, if we continue to study and show ourselves approved unto the Most High Yah. Workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or the devar of truth. We need to stay in this and understand it and read it and meditate. Do your homework. Do your research. Keep learning from your teachers. Please. It's important because the Most High Yah is revealing information that has not been revealed. And he is bringing forth information that is specific for our times. And it stays with the scripture. It doesn't deviate from scripture. You can find it in scripture, but the understanding is there. And so stay with your teachers. Keep getting your learning. Get your education. Learn. Learn. Be good students. Because the Most High Yah is going to be, we're going to be tested in these things. And we need to show forth a good showing. We need to show the Most High Yah that we were attentive. We were paying attention. So stay in your word. Stay in, keep reading the Torah, the Tanakh, the Brit Hadashah. But get the understanding from the teachers that the Most High Yah has raised up at this time. Please support your teachers with prayer, with your finances. Speak well of your teachers, not evil. If you don't understand something, write your teachers, email them. Ask them for clarification. Remember, they're learning too, but they have come farther than you because they have put more effort and the Most High has chosen them. So they may not know something right now. It's okay. Stretch your teachers by asking questions. It helps them to give you a better class, a better understanding, and we all learn together. All right. I'm going to say shalom for now, and Yah willing, I will see you on Wednesday and be back at 7:30 to continue the Wisdom of Torah. Sponsored by Beth Shalom Mashiach, sponsored by Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your hostess, Eliana Bhatia, signing off for today. Have a good week. Have a good day, and we will see each other, Yah willing, later. Shalom.